All right, we'll call the meeting to order. If we could rise, stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Hagenbusch, if you could call the roll, please.
Mr. Sams?
Present.
Mr. Knight?
Present.
Mrs. Bennett?
Present.
Mr. Yule?
Present.
Mrs. Wobble?
Present.
Thank you. Item two, Mr. Carmody.
How's everybody doing today? Staying, trying to stay cool? I stained about eight gallons of stain this weekend.
This is going to be a long presentation.
I lost 5 pounds.
Yeah, probably, but it's not going to be long. You have to look over there.
Real quick introduction to new calendaring facility management software that we're implementing. We started July 1.
Can you say that on me?
It's called DynaCal. There is a public and a private side. I'm really only going to point on the public side that most of you will look at here. That's where this scrolling calendar comes from. We'll be putting all of our events in here, top to bottom. We'll use this software to reserve areas in the district, so hopefully we eliminate double booking of areas, because the software doesn't allow for an area to be double booked. It gives an alert that says you basically can't put this event in. So that's some of the nice things that will help us management-wise, but I think in the long run, it's also going to help us communicate with public. Because the scrolling calendar is nice, but if you click all events here, it takes us to what is our DynaCal calendar. So you can quickly see exactly what's going on in the district today, anywhere. So as we get more events, this is a whole district-wide what's going on at Norton City Schools. Down the left-hand side here, we've created quite a few much more granular calendars. So if you just want to see, you know, what's going on at the high school or what's going on in athletics, we can start to really pick out the events that you are looking for, and it will help in that type of communication. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time. It's pretty self-explanatory. I can change it to a more of a true calendar view up here. I can make it full screen. You can change the times. I prefer the daily because it just seems to get a little more information. One thing you can do as well is you can actually write from here. Anyone can just post one of our events out to Facebook. If it's something they're going to and they want to help advertise, they can post to Facebook and they can do Twitter. If you click on the mobile link, really all this does is if you put your phone number in here, it sends you a text with that mobile address on it. There's no real mobile app. It's really a mobile, just a through your browser on your phone. It's a little more friendly version than trying to pull this website up and use it. One of the biggest features, and the reason I wanted to point this out today, is we're kind of starting our advertisement of going to this calendar. The greatest thing I think about this would be people can go on and sign up for a My DynaCal calendar. And let me log into mine quickly. And what you can do is you can customize your own calendar that you want. So for example, if you have, you know, a high school kid that plays basketball and a middle schooler that's in the band, you can now create a calendar that's just the events that you want. And it's as simple as, and there's some directions there. It's as simple as just going in here and choosing what I want. Boys soccer, I don't know, I'm just grabbing a couple. Got a kid at grill, so let's go to grill. So when I come back here, I quickly create that. The neat thing I can do is I can set up email and text alerts. So the biggest one is when events change due to weather. We always say like baseball's always, we're baseball and softball in the spring, they're changing all the time. Now the athletic director, you know, if it's in the morning and it's enough notice, they can go on, change on DynaCal that, you know, the game's been postponed or canceled or reschedule. And if people have signed up for alerts, they're going to get that alert on their phone or through email. It's just a great communication tool to set those types of things up. And the alerts, you can set it up. I don't know if you want to do this or not, but you can get an alert every time something is added to the calendar. Well, I did that initially, and then they started adding stuff. My phone just blew up. I mean, it was texting and emails, and so I know it works. But usually the change, postpone, and reschedule, or the date, time, location change is probably the best ones to sign up for. You know, maybe you'd want the addition one in there after, you know, a couple weeks into the school year where everybody's all got all their events added in there. And then you get just those new ones, maybe those new types of events. So that's just a real fast rundown of the new calendar that we're using. A couple points, you know, we're wrapping a lot of things into this, like our transportation requests go through it now, our technology requests go through this now in a whole different portal for the staff to use, but it's putting a lot of things in one location, so we're now all looking at the same calendar. So transportation, when they bid out their extra trip routes, they're looking at the exact same calendar that athletics and band and everyone's looking at. So hopefully we kind of eliminate some of the, you know, extra trips that maybe we're doing at the last minute, and it's just a good coordination tool, I think, for the district. Anybody have any questions?
Jake, can I just add one little thing about the streaming calendars that are scrolling on the building pages? They are filtered to where they're only showing that building's events. So it's not like every district event is on Grills page. It'll just show Grills events for that too. So it's kind of a nice feature.
And there are, just so you know, there's some directions there on setting up a My DynaCal calendar right on the front of the web page. If you click on that news article there, I just showed it. It's a pretty simple process. You signed up for any type of any online account, it's the same thing. And there's directions inside of DynaCal as well.
Thanks.
Thank you. Item 3, public participation, visitors and guests. We had nobody that signed up, but somebody, we have one. You have 3 minutes, if you could just state your name. Hold on 1 second so we can. Okay, go ahead when you're ready.
My name is Dave Haupt. Recent events have happened over in the Coventry School District that brings me to ask this school district to do a full performance audit for the open enrollment. Those poor souls over at Coventry have been misled for a long time. They're in a grave financial emergency. State took their school over, from what I gather. I believe we're headed basically in the same direction with the tremendous amount of students that we have here from open enrollment. Bring your attention that in 2014 fiscal year, we operated the school district on $17,718,447. Less than 2 years later, we're up over 20%. Our student enrollment has dropped 8.8%. We don't want to get in the same position that the people in Coventry are in. We need to have a full performance audit of this. We need an accurate, concise, truthful audit so we do not get in that same position. I'm asking you, Mr. Sams, Mr. Knight, Ms. Webble, everybody on the board, Mr. Yule, Ms. Bennett, we need an honest accounting of this. These poor souls were led astray. And from accountings that people are saying, one man came up and said that it's costing him an extra $250 a year to take and educate children that he's not responsible for. If they want the Norton experience, there's plenty of houses in New Franklin, Norton, We welcome them to our city. Enjoy our police department, our fire department, our parks, our school system. Come on in. Let us welcome you to our city. Don't come here and take our schools and have us pay for your children. They say the average is $9,400 for kids to go to school a year. We only get about $5,700 of that when they come over. Don't know what ours is. Don't know how much it costs to educate a child in our school system. But I don't think we're doing it for $5,700 a year. Thank you.
Does anybody else wish to speak? Thank you. Item 4, agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda? Seeing none, can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Lovell?
Yes.
Motion carries. Item 5, board business. And do you have yours with you? Could you read? I'm going to do that if you could read the whole.
What do you want me to read?
When I get to items A, B, and C.
Okay.
Under item 5, board business, can I have a motion to approve item A, attachment A? I'll ask Mrs. Hagenbusch to read item A.
A resolution declaring it necessary to levy an additional current expense tax levy and requesting the Summit County Fiscal Officer to certify the total current tax valuation of the school district and the dollar amount of revenue that would be generated by that additional levy.
Again, can I have a motion to approve attachment A?
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Lovell?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Motion carries. Thank you. Under board business, item B, can I have a motion to approve item B, attachment B? I'll have Mrs. Hagenbusch read it, please.
A resolution providing for the issuance and sale of bonds in a maximum aggregate principal amount of $12,210,000 for the purpose of refunding at a lower interest cost certain of the school district's school improvement bonds series 2014A, which were issued for the purpose of constructing, furnishing, equipping, adding to, renovating, remodeling, rehabilitating, and improving school district buildings and facilities, and acquiring, clearing, improving, equipping real estate for school purposes, authorizing the call for optional redemption of the refunded bonds, authorizing the execution and delivery of bond registrar agreement and a bond purchase agreement with respect to the refunding bonds, and an escrow agreement with respect to the refunding of the refunded bonds, and authorizing the preparation, use, and distribution of an official statement relating thereto. That is one sentence.
Yeah, thank you for doing all that. Since that was your resolution, again, can I have a motion to approve attachment B?
So moved.
Okay.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Lovell?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Motion carries. And this will be the last one. Thank you. Can I have a motion to approve under board business item C, attachment C? Mrs. Hagenbusch, if you could read it, please.
A resolution providing for the issuance and sale of bonds in a maximum aggregate principal amount of $9,710,000 for the purpose of refunding at a lower interest cost certain of the school district's school improvement bonds series 2014B, which were issued for the purpose of constructing, furnishing, equipping, adding to, renovating, remodeling, rehabilitating, and improving school district buildings and facilities, and acquiring, clearing, improving, and equipping real estate for school purposes, authorizing the call for optional redemption of the refunded bonds, authorizing the execution and delivery of a bond registrar agreement and a bond purchase agreement with respect to the refunding bonds and an escrow agreement with respect to the refunding of the refunded bonds, and authorizing the preparation, use, and distribution of an official statement relating thereto. Period.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Lovell?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes. Thank you for reading those. Item 6, approval of minutes. Can I have a motion to approve the special meeting minutes June 20th, 2016, attachment D?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Approval of minutes, item 6. Can I have a motion to approve the special meeting minutes June 30th, 2016, attachment E?
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Under Treasurer's Recommendations, item 7, can I have a motion to approve the Treasurer's Recommendations, items A, B, and C?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Motion carries. Under Superintendent's Recommendations, item A, can I have a motion to approve Personnel, Retirement, Resignation, Leaves, and Terminations, items 1 and 2?
So moved.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Under Superintendent's Recommendations, item B, can I have a motion to approve the following contracts, items 1 through 4?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
I would point out that we have two of those people that we're asking you to approve in attendance, and it's always exciting to welcome new faces and go through the interview process. So the two that are here are Megan McMullen, if you could just stand up for us, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
And Chelsea Feeney. Welcome to both of you.
Welcome. Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes. Motion carries. Congratulations. Under Superintendent's Recommendations, items C and D, can I have a motion to approve the following salary schedule and benefits, items C and D?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Motion carries. Under the Superintendent's Recommendations, items E through J, can I have a motion to approve the following supplemental and stipends, items E through J?
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Motion carries. We're down to K. Can I have a motion to approve the elimination of the following positions, items 1 through 3, under item K?
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Motion carries. Under the consent agenda items, can I have a motion to approve the following consent agenda items, L1?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Motion carries. Item 9, the superintendent's reports.
Yeah, last week we heard a presentation by Mr. Collier, a proposal on a field house. I would like to see where the board stands with that. I think it would be a good idea to give them at least the green light to go ahead and submit a formal proposal for us so that we could vote on that in August. But I wanted to get to take it to the board.
Well, my understanding was we were going to hear from you the solid numbers about the middle school.
We won't have those. I mean, I doubt we'll have those before the August board meeting.
Well, I'm okay with waiting to the next COW meeting in August, because my understanding from Mr. Collier was November was a time frame that he could live with, but I want to make sure that we're sound, and I think I understood from all of us that we wanted to see those numbers so that we could have a good conversation.
We cannot wait till November because all the equipment is on site, and that's where we're saving our money. The original cost of this was going to be $1.8 million, and he's going to do it for $1.25. So, no, we can't wait. I don't know if he meant it was going to be completed by November, but the equipment's there now, and that's why we're saving them.
I still want to have a clear look at the dollars and the P&I money, and I really think we need to have that discussion about the sale of the property. I think that's a discussion of the board that we all need to have. Mr. Collier brought that up in his conversation as well.
A sale of what particular property?
I don't know. That's what he brought up. And if you look at the...
He's not the board.
I understand that, but that's an additional...
He was just bringing it up as an aside to, if we didn't have the money, but Stephanie sent out the PI sheet that has all of our expenses for the next year, and we have the money. It's just a matter of when the state is going to send us back the money. So we have the money to do it. It's there. And the numbers are padded a little bit, you know. He's saying he doesn't think the cafeteria is going to take $200,000. And everybody saw my email, I would assume. You know, Stephanie said we don't have to buy the buses right now if we don't need to. So there's an extra $200,000 that is still in the budget. So.
And any money generated by the sale of property, which is certainly an option, and I would agree the board is going to need to have some significant discussions about that at some time. But those funds generated through that process certainly will be after the fact in terms of any kind of decision about the field.
Because we can't sell that until...
And I understand that.
I would be cautious about considering sale of any property whatsoever. We don't know what our needs are going to be after we're in the new building. You know, there's a lot of consideration that needs to be taken into place, because the one thing I keep saying is once you sell it, you don't get it back.
Sure.
So I wouldn't be quick to do any of that or to even factor that in to any of this equation.
But it leaves the people whose money that this belongs to an idea of how much PI money we're going to have left. Whereas how much we talked a lot about money and dollars, and how much are we going to have left? And Mr. Dunn, you said it was proposed $600,000 for the middle school, but those numbers were high.
Yes, and we've had some preliminary conversations with MKC over the years, and in fact, is Mr. Carmen and I had that discussion today, that yes, we do want to get some hard numbers on that, but again, I think this is an opportunity for the field house that if we don't move on it, then all of a sudden, and I've said it before, you get into a situation where if we don't do it now, I really don't see it as something that we're going to do, because we're not going to be in a position to get it at the cost that we're going to get it at now. And I think it's an opportunity that's very difficult to let go by unless you're of the opinion that we just don't need a field house. And if that's the opinion of the board and that there's no intent to have a field house over the next 10 or 15 years, then okay, I would say that I would be in agreement with that. But I also know in the last 3 or 4 years, there has been a tremendous amount of discussion about how badly this community needs a field house. And to me, this is the time to do it if there's an interest in doing it.
I just think I'd like to have more discussion. And when we left, we understood it that you were going to give us those numbers. So I'm okay with waiting. We're only 2 weeks from the next meeting, and that's where that conversation should take place.
My understanding was that we would get those numbers. That it was not my understanding that Mr. Carmody was to have them ahead of time. But regardless, again, I mean, the further we push it down the road, I think the less likelihood that we're going to be able to do it, especially at the cost savings that has been quoted. So I just caution the board as to the danger of that.
Mr. Carmody, do you think you can have that information by the time of the committee of the whole meeting?
I'm planning on meeting with MKC in the middle of that first week of August to start getting a little more concise idea of the scope of work that needs to happen. And then that really needs to go to CT Taylor, and they need to have the opportunity to price that out so that we can get a gross maximum price for that project.
And I would say then too, and I would just add this, and then you're at that point you're into having pretty good guesstimates as to what that would be, but I would think the board is going to want to sit down and evaluate the options for the middle school and what that entrance would look like and how we're going to maybe redirect traffic and playground and that kind of thing. And those conversations are going to take a significant amount of time as well. I mean, I don't think it's going to be as simple as, okay, here are the numbers on a proposal that the board has yet to really see and evaluate and then accept that.
Well, there was a lot of conversation about dollars, passing levies, permanent improvement levy needs to come forth. So I just want to make sure I'm representing those dollars accurately, as we all do. But
as do I.
Do we have a vocational place at our new building facility?
I'm not sure I understand the question, Mr. Sanders.
For the district, we have the masonry facility. Do we have another space?
One of the things that we've talked about in the past, and I just got information of some changes in career tech that makes it even more feasible for us to use our drama facility for career tech program. I brought that as an initial conversation to the board probably a year or so ago and have mentioned it on several occasions, and I still think that that's very viable, that we would go through the process of taking the steps that we need to take to make it happen during this school year, because we would not want to start a program like that until the building's complete. So I would think that if the board continues to have interest in adding a career tech program, we certainly can do that for what would be the 2017-2018 school year.
But if we were to bring in an HVAC program or
there's not a designated area for that, no, there's not.
So could we use that money to build a facility that could be possibly co-funded?
No. No, you can use the money, just to make it clear, the money that we're talking about represents funds that are left over from the building project. So when we get those, can we use those, our share of that, for something like that? Absolutely we can. It's not a co-funded project.
Correct. Just the parking spaces, he said.
He said
the parking lot, the parking spaces could be.
In terms of an HVAC program and stuff, I don't know that that's true. There was conversation that because of the positioning of the field house, some of those parking spaces could be. But if you're talking about adding on to the building after it's complete to add an HVAC program or something, I would doubt that the state would step in and co-fund it.
Well, I had somebody contact me, so it's just a question I had from a resident, so I just want to clear that up.
And I'm just trying to answer it.
And just so that I'm clear too, if the money could be used to add on to the building, could it be used to purchase the equipment for the program?
I believe so, yeah.
Once it goes into our PI fund, we can use it for anything that we would use PI money for.
I don't understand why those buildings will be, Cornerstone Grill will be empty a year from now. I don't understand why you're discussing that property. I think that we should, you know, it's only 10 months off next month. We should have that conversation.
Discussing what? I didn't.
The property of Grill and Cornerstone.
We can certainly put that on the agenda.
And I think you can, I'm certainly not saying that that's not a conversation that the board should have and discuss. I mean, I think you can have that anytime. I just don't think that it's connected to the field house.
I agree.
I think those are two separate conversations.
I agree. I would not want us to saddle a decision to whether to build a field house or not build a field house contingent upon selling a piece of property. I don't think that's a good move to make. I think it's too early to make any determination as to what our needs are going to be with respect to the sale of any property.
Well, I don't understand how we left last week understanding how are we going to get this money, where are we going to find this money, and now all of a sudden we have the money.
Stephanie sent the paper.
I understand that,
well,
but all of a sudden.
Right, there's your answer. But all of a sudden, there's the paper. She writes what money we have, what money's coming in, what money's going out for the next entire year. And it shows that even if we do this, we still have personal money left. And then when the money's free from the state, we will take that money and put it right back in the PI. I'm not understanding.
Because we're going to lose two buses, and I don't want to lose two buses.
I don't think you said, I don't think that was.
That's an option that we could do at some point. It's not contingent.
If we don't need them, or we don't need, is the way I understood it, is we can.
I get it. You can, I understand. You can sell.
The buses aren't set in stone. That was the question. If we put it off, even for a few months or whatever, like you said, the money doesn't even come out usually until the summer.
It's usually later, yeah.
Yeah.
But I put it in April, I think.
It was just a question, like, can we put that off if we're not comfortable, because we're still in the black at the end of the year?
But I would assume you and Mr. Stone King wouldn't propose buses if we didn't need them. So we obviously would need the buses.
Well, the question is, when do we actually purchase the buses? As Swivel said, we put them in April, kind of. Stephanie and I sat down and looked at the budget for the PI, and we took a very conservative route in all of our estimates and kind of had things maybe purchasing a little bit early, just to see where those numbers would fall, so that we had a comfort level that we were going to have enough in PI in case something happens. So I think that if we get to a point and we feel like we need to move the purchase of the buses back a little bit, I think we can do that.
And I will tell you that in the years I've been here, that's something that we have done on a couple occasions, is shifted the number of buses we buy or change that depending upon the needs of our budget. So, and we've been, I can't tell you off the top of my head what we've purchased in the last 2 years, but in the last 2 years, we've been aggressive in the purchase of buses.
Six? Do you think six?
I think you're always putting buses, you know, it's like a yearly, there's always a bus or two in there just in case, you know, something happens. I mean, it's always in there. That's why I asked about the buses.
Well, they're meeting state certifications and whatnot, so there's a replacement program for that, I would assume.
I don't know that we have a true set in stone. We have to replace them after a certain number of years. If they pass inspection and they're drivable, we've got some old buses. The one thing with buses that can happen is we can get creative in the purchase of buses. There's different programs you can get into to maybe, Barberton did this, from my understanding, too, because they got a little bit behind. They leased four buses, so they got four now, but they basically paid over 4 years, so they're only pulling one equal the bus out. So you can get creative in replenishing your buses. I don't know that we can get much more creative with the finances for the field house. I mean, this is kind of a
great opportunity. Say, too, that again, I mean, the buses are a piece of the financial picture, certainly. But I don't see the field house contingent upon whether, or I should say it in reverse, I don't see the purchase of buses contingent on whether or not we build a field house. It's not like if we agree to a field house that we're saying we can't purchase buses.
And I understand that, but I have to look out. I obviously, most of us, I'll speak for myself, I want a field house, but I also want to make sure I'm spending the dollars wisely while I'm sitting in this chair. And I got phone calls. And I listen to those phone calls, so I want some time to think about it. I'm not going to make this decision overnight, and my understanding was we were going to have more of an understanding of dollars for the middle school, and that's what I was waiting to see. So I think, as far as I'm concerned, we can wait until the next COW meeting in August, and I'll be a little bit more comfortable. Plus, I want to hear from a few more citizens. That's what I'm comfortable with.
Well, and I would say that then I would like to at least have the green light to get information from CT Taylor and MKC in a little bit more formal way to present to at the COW meeting, because I feel like it would be remiss for me as superintendent to not at least put as much information in front of the board as possible, because our students in this community have needed a field house for a long time.
And information is good. I appreciate that. Any further report?
That's all.
Mrs. Hagenbusch?
No, I'll keep quiet this time.
Mrs. Bennett?
I don't have anything. Enjoy the rest of the summer. It's flying by.
Oh my gosh.
Mr. Knight?
I have nothing.
Mr. Yule?
Nothing. Enjoy summer. Welcome the new teachers.
Mrs. Webble?
Nope.
And myself, welcome to the new addition. And motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Call the roll, please.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes. Thank you for coming.
So